In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When Japanese hear a joke, they laugh three times. Really? Why is that? First, they laugh at the joke because everyone else is laughing. Conformity. The second time, they laugh when someone explains the joke to them just to be sure. And the third time, they laugh 3 days later when they finally get it. Any students from overseas who have come here without having sufficient training in English may have experienced the similar things. I myself needed to take time to learn the language when I first came here for Master of Divinity program back in the 1980s. I was slower than I had expected for myself to study in English. And still today, I speak and use Janglish or Engnese. Slow to understand may also be our approach to certain Old Testament books, including Leviticus. How many of us would admit that we have fallen asleep by trying to read Leviticus devotionally? The book of Leviticus does not contain many interesting stories. It is largely a report of what the Lord said to Moses and Aaron at Mount Sinai, that is located in between the times of Exodus chapter 19 and Numbers chapter 10, when Israelites started to move again. The book is about what Yahweh said concerning the institution of the divine service with the sacrifices. After the detailed teaching and inauguration of the divine service, which culminated in the description of the Day of Atonement in chapter 16, the Leviticus proceeds to record how the Lord spoke on the daily life of the Israelites. And so in our reading, he says, twice actually, if your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you. A very concrete teaching. Do you have your brother who has become poor? Have you yourselves become poor? Leviticus, an often neglected book in the Bible, suddenly sounds like a pretty contemporary book here. Because as students, you pay more than what you earn. Those are the tough years. If your brother has become poor, what did the Lord want the people of Israel to do on that question? He simply says, support him. Yes, we thank the Lord for all the support for the seminary and the seminarians, the loving and kind and prayerful support of our church. The Lord continues, and do not make him work as if he were a slave. Yes, a slave, a favorite or the only topic of our beloved professor, Dr. Nordling. I would like to evangelically exhort all of you to go to his public lecture next Monday at 11 o'clock to hear the world's most important lecture on the slavery in the Bible by the title, Slaves to God, Slaves to One Another, Testing the Idea Biblically. I like to expect that lecture will be not only supplement, but explanation of this text. But strangely, however, the Lord God continued to explain that even though the people of Israel were not supposed to be treated or to treat their brothers in need as slaves, the fact remained that all people of Israel were slaves. Our translation said servants, but the same word as slave. He says, do not treat your brother as a slave, because they are my slaves. because they belong to me. So whether the people of Israel were in Egypt or at Mount Sinai, they were slaves in both cases. The only question then was this: whose? Whose slaves were they? We can also ask ourselves, whose slave am I? Whose slave are we? Whose slave are you? There are two kinds of slaves, only two kinds, and there is no middle and neutral ground. 2KS. You shall not lend him your money as at interest, nor give him your food for profit, the Lord says. These seemingly ethical demands were connected to the liturgical life of ancient Israel. For our text is found in a larger context of the entire book of Leviticus, and more particularly, immediately following the institution of the Jubilee, earlier in the same chapter. Just as God had ordained 7 weeks of harvest that culminated in the Feast of Pentecost, so the years of harvest culminated in this Jubilee, which was proclaimed on the Day of Atonement with the sounding of a ram's horn throughout the land. It announced God's amnesty to all debtors and the release from debt for all the inhabitants of his land. We are drawn to the voice of our Lord in our text, which he repeats elsewhere in Exodus and Leviticus. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. Just like in Exodus 29, he reminds his people that the purpose of his rescue of his people from the slavery in Egypt was for him to serve them as God. He brought his people out of Egypt so that he may serve them, making his dwelling among them as their God, even walking among them, says the next chapter 26. Yahweh did not save them so that he might be served and obeyed by his people. By means of the Jubilee, Yahweh, who released Israel from the slavery, continued to release his people from slavery. The Lord God considered the release from the slavery was that important and necessary for the life of the people of Israel. The exhortation in our text has this background and context. The people of Israel were expected to treat each other as God had treated them. Now we have spent on our campus of Concordia Theological Seminary 3 weeks in this academic year. Lots of enjoyment, meeting with new friends, and learning new things in the classrooms. Also joy in serving congregations as well. But what about your own assessment of yourself? Do you feel that you had become a better Christian? Or do you feel as if you were a slave? Of course, we don't feel like a slave, right? Usually, we place ourselves as bystanders, someone who watch the game, rather than playing in the game, thinking that I'm just fine. I am in a safe place. But seriously, whose slave are you today? Are you a slave to sin? Are you slave to the devil? Are you slave to your sinful flesh and desires? Or are you a slave and a servant of Christ Jesus? Remember, there are only two kinds of slaves. It is hard for us to acknowledge the fact that still today, we are not only passively, but also actively sinning against God by resisting him, by fleeing from him, hating him, and even getting rid of him from our lives. Jesus said in John 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Are you a sinner? Are you a slave to sin? Yes. Then Jesus today is for you too. His forgiveness is yours, only if you are a sinner. Let us remember, therefore, that you just received the Lord's body and blood yesterday. Just as the high priest entered the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement and performed the rite of atonement before Yahweh, so Jesus entered the heavenly sanctuary with his own blood once and for all and has accomplished your atonement. And from there, Jesus has brought to you his body and his blood into your mouth yesterday. The body and the blood of Jesus now live on in you, in your soul, and in your body. The year of Jubilee, which Jesus announced in Luke 4, continues in you and for you. One drop of his blood, which is worth more than the whole world, is yours. What an unthinkable blessing it was, and it is, the year of the Lord's favor. God's amnesty is with us. So we are prompted to serve each other with his favor and with our joy, just as the people of Israel were in Leviticus. If your brother is found in need, share what you have received, because your Lord Christ has brought you out of darkness with his amnesty. Whose slave are you today? Amen.